Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And here it is Friday at Kenneth Copeland Bible College today. Praise God. And all of you are in class again today. Aren't you glad they're here?
Yes.
Amen. So we welcome you. And we're talking about, yesterday, endure hardship as a good soldier. Soldier in the army of the Lord. There's a song about that. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Why? Because he's a good God. He's a good commander. And Jesus is the Lord Advocate General of the church. He is the commander in chief of the body of Christ. He is the head and we are the body. And when we do things that are unbecoming to him, to another member of his body, we did it to him. Amen. Amen. So now, back to Ephesians 6. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to remind you now, when Jesus went to Gadara, that place on the Galilee, because he left there and went right straight back to Capernaum. It's just right across the lake. But there was a madman there. Fifth chapter of the book of Luke. And, fifth chapter of Mark. Quickly, I want you to see this in action. Verse 5, always, there were tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. One, rulers of the darkness of this world, who had his dwelling among the tombs, no man could bind him, not with chains and so forth. Always, day and night, was in the mountains and in tombs, crying, he's a cutter. He cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. So I don't care how much possession there was in him, he worshiped him anyway. He ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice. This is that devil talking. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. That's that devil talking through him. For he said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? He answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. That was the command devil. But he had 3,000 to 6,000 devils under his command, principalities and powers. Principalities and powers, 3,000 to 6,000 of them. One was in command. One unclean spirit, a ruler of the darkness of this world. So as you're ministering to people, remember that. And be very, very aware of the surroundings. And until the Lord says for you to do so, don't touch them. We were in Tulsa, and the house we lived in, right across the way was a young man and his wife. He was going to Trinity Bible College. And he called me. And he said, I have a young man in my home that he spoke to the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And he can't get him to leave. I said, well, what's the deal with him? Well, he said, now, Brother Copeland, he was a gunner. A tail gunner on a B-25 in World War II. I thought, he's not old enough to have even seen World War II. Dear Lord, I wasn't but five when it started. He's a liar. Oh, they had such sympathy for him. I mean, he just barely escaped with his life. The whole crew was killed but him. He's a liar. I said, I'll be right over. So I walked in the kitchen there, and he was just sitting there at the table. So I tried to minister to him at the table, but I could see it in his eyes. His eyes all glazed over. And so I said, well, stand up here. I'm going to pray for you. But I see this, I was very young in the Lord. I didn't know any better. And so I laid my hands on him, and he hit me right in the mouth. Well, I reacted. I didn't respond. I reacted. I just unloaded on him. Now, we were standing up. The table's here, the doorway here, and the hall, and the wall behind the hall there. I hit him so hard that I knocked him through that hall, and his rear end stuck through the concrete, the sheetrock, and he's hanging there like this. And I just pulled him out of there and put him down on the ground and sat out on him, and I cast, I think it's something like nine devils out of him. And his eyes came around, and he was very pleasant. I do not recommend that form of ministry. I didn't know any better. I fairly felt bad about it. But he decided, well, maybe it's time for him to go on somewhere else. Well, and the only thing John was worried about is what the landlord was going to say about that hole in the wall. But we had the same landlord, and he was a believer, so I'm sure it worked out all right. But he was demon-possessed. And, oh, I don't expect he was over, 24, 25 years old. He wasn't even born in World War II. Wow. And why the people believe that mess, I can't, well, I mean, you know, I mean, they're dumber than him. Most of them probably didn't, but they felt sorry for him because they could tell he's, you know, off. And so he wanted to go home with John Jacobs, and he couldn't get him out of there. Well, he did leave. But anyway, there you have it. Don't touch them until you're ready to release your faith. Praise God. Anyway, suit up. Put your armor on. Put your fighting clothes on. There's been times I have literally done that. I suit up. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. And I was doing that one day. And I had all this going, and I said, now I'm ready. I have my suit. And the word of the Lord came up inside of me. He said, put the faceplate down. Oh, okay. He said, that's my fighting suit. Now put that faceplate down. The devil can't tell whether it's me or you inside that suit. He said, don't say something stupid. And he knows it's you and not me. So what do? You stand on James 4:7. You stand there submitted to God. I have your clothes on, sir. And now I am going to resist the devil, and he will flee.
Yes.
Satan, I resist you steadfastly in the faith. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whose I am and whom I serve, I command you to depart my presence. You get out of here. You're gone. Then something comes back up. And then, no, I'm not gone. Ha, ha, ha. I can prove you're gone. And just get James 4:7 and hold it up there. You're gone. I won't tell him to leave again. I submitted myself to God. I have on the fighting armor. He's gone. Praise God. That's what a good soldier does. I just shot him right between the eyes with James 4:7. In that situation, he is as dead as Goliath.
Amen.
Because Goliath was full of the devil. He cursed him by his gods. Huh. Well, Hollywood has David dancing around. No, he put that sling in his hand, and the Bible said he ran towards him. I come at you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. That put the angels involved in it right there. And those angels saw that that rock hit the only spot uncovered and killed him. He fell, and then he finished him off with his own sword. So who made David king? Goliath. Goliath. And made Saul, the spirit in Saul, hate him. Because they sang better songs about him than they did him. Very vain. But Saul would get depressed. Spirit of depression on him. And he would do things under depression that he normally wouldn't do. Anyway, we learn from these things. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now he's describing Roman army. Well, above the shield of a Roman soldier was taller than he is. And they had hooks. This is the reason Rome was so hard to defeat in battle. They were well advanced. And this is the reason Cornelius recognized the authority of Jesus, because he's a Roman soldier, a field grade officer. Now they could hook those things together, and they did what was called the turtle maneuver. Well, what was the weapon of the day? And they put fire tips on them and just rain those arrows down on top of them. And they'd hook together, and now they, above all, the shield of faith. And now then, you're shooting all of those arrows, but here they come. And your arrows are doing no good whatsoever. And they're right up in your face. And they get up there close to you. They all come down with that shield then. And then out comes the personal weapon. Above all, the shield of faith. For the fiery arrows of the devil cannot penetrate the maneuver. That's the reason faith is so important. Above all. Why? You have to receive righteousness by faith.
Yes.
You have to receive it all by faith. Your shoes by faith. Your righteousness by faith. The helmet of salvation, that was by faith.
Yes.
Find that in the book of Ephesians. Well, we're there. Go to chapter 2. Praise God. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's faith again. That's the reason he's talking about the shield of faith. So he took the Roman armor as a description. The breastplate of righteousness. Now that armor wasn't just here. You either had it strapped here and strapped in the back where you could move, or in some cases, it was a complete suit of armor. And did you ever notice in the pictures that armor always had abs? There never was a belly on it. Well, in the first place, those Roman soldiers didn't have any fat on them. But you look good in that armor, even if you couldn't breathe. And I would laugh about that towards the Lord. I said, well, with your armor on, I really look good. Yes. Can't breathe much, but I'm going to get good. Praise God. And the sword of the Spirit. It's double-edged. Anyway, praise God. Aren't these things magnificent? The word of the living God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Both the grace and the faith. The grace and the faith. I remember it. I can just see it in my mind right now. I came home from flying that trip that night from Little Rock to Shreveport and back. A man by the name of Weir, he was an executive of the Arkansas Louisiana Gas Company, natural gas. And when I got back in that evening, I went in the bedroom there and took my suit off and put on just a pair of khakis. Gloria waited supper for me. She was still at the standing there at the kitchen stove about 8 o'clock. And I sat down in there, and I had one shoe on, but I was about to put the other one on, and just suddenly, you know how many times the Bible says suddenly? I mean, it was sudden, just like that. And I bowed my head there, and when I bowed my head, I heard this, Kenneth, if you don't get right with me, son, you're going to a devil's hell. No, if you don't get right with me, you're going to a devil's hell, son. I said, I know it. What do I do now? I heard my Sunday school teacher's voice, Mrs. Taggart, Southern Baptist Sunday School at the University Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. Now, Baptist Sunday schools are just way too much like school. They just promote you all the time. Well, all the boys of us got together there, and Mrs. Taggart was our teacher, and she really cared for us. And she was the one that really, really taught Sunday school. Now, I had gone down front when I was 9. I signed a card. But nobody prayed anything. I cried. That happened to me more than once. She said, boys, I thought, that's old Lady Taggart. You have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I thought, well, that sounds just as dumb as it did the first time I heard it, but here it goes. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And the war stopped on the inside of me. And for a few seconds there, it felt like a square block inside my mouth. And the profanity was gone forever. Forever. Now, there's a lot of other junk was hanging on, but that was gone. Forever and ever and ever and ever. It worked. And that amazed me. But then I had to tell Gloria, because she was raised in the Church of Christ. I was raised in Southern Baptist. So we just didn't talk about it. Neither one of us cared anything about going to church anyway. My language was terrible. And She just put up with me. Hers wasn't, but she just put up with me. But now I said, I'm going to have to tell her. So I called her. I said, over there. I said, Gloria, what do you think about if I was to maybe give my testimony or speak for God or something? And she said, hallelujah. I said, what? She told me what had happened to her while I was out looking for the job. And she found that Bible that my mother sent me, and she just prayed, take my life and do something with it. She hadn't said to me anything about it either for the same reason, I guess. And that's when it started.
Wow.
Right there. Little by little. But I still wanted to stay in the airplane business. I still wanted to sell airplanes and fly airplanes and everything that, you know, and maybe testify here a little. Yeah. And then the other thing that I told you, I found out, no, I'm called to preach, and that ended that. And I never questioned it. I never got the idea, well, maybe I'm not called. I don't know. I don't understand people that struggle with that. I can sympathize, but I can't understand it, because once that came on me, that is it. But now T.L. Osborne said his calling to preach was Mark 16, 15 through 20. He read that and said, yes, sir. The Lord just said, you go do that. But see, he had a different raising than I did. He had learned, born again at a young age, and lived for God. Amen. Anyway, so that's the bottom line of that. So now, we see this, but now he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. We are seated with him. You and I are seated with him in heavenly places. Now, what do you think that the saints of heaven thought about our last election? They could care less. Except the cloud of great witnesses that it is their job to care. Because they know the will of God. And they see all the political hanky-panky, I mean, on both sides, and all those devils. They see what those devils are doing to people in Washington, D.C., and in the state houses and the mayorships of cities, and how they're being deceived. And that great cloud of witnesses are interceding for them, and we are out of time. We'll be back in just a moment.
You know, we get to hear from the founder of the university just to be in the room and feel that atmosphere. You don't get that on TV. You don't get that watching them on TV. But when you're here, it's not just the anointing you see on him. It's in the room.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast in Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and this is the Student Lodge. Hallelujah. In 2023, it is an absolute must to put God's Word first place in our lives. This is absolute authority.
In 2023, like Brother Copeland said, it's the year of victory if you're standing on the Word. And so you need to hear this full message and really grasp, especially some of the many testimonies he told of examples of people that are alive because they listen to the Spirit.
I think it's important that people actually know how to apply Scripture to their life. Like, reading the Bible is one thing, but actually knowing how to apply it and have success in it is a different thing. So people definitely need to tune in and learn how to apply the Scripture to their life.
I don't care if you're in the shoe business. You're called to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a witness, which makes you an evangelist on the street, evangelist in the schoolroom.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Jesus has redeemed you from the curse of poverty. Galatians 3, 13 through 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law so the blessing could come on us. Poverty was a part of that curse. Now, the covenant promises of God's word guarantee your right to enjoy a life filled with his abundance. Galatians 6, 6 and 8 is one of God's promises for your prosperity. It says, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. You cannot cheat God. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. God is passionate about reaching those that are lost and need the saving power of our Lord Jesus. The way God reaches those people is by sending ministers to teach them God's word and be example of his love to everyone they meet. The financial seed you invest into this ministry shows God that you share his heart in reaching the lost with the truth and compassion of Jesus. In return, God has made a covenant promise with you to receive an abundant harvest on your investment into his kingdom. Today is offering day on the broadcast, and we would like to give you an opportunity to share in the benefits of spreading the gospel. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is good ground to invest your seed. We take the time to pray over your seed and agree with you for your abundant harvest. Then we put your seed to work by sending the uncompromised word of God out on every available voice. Partners and friends, Kenneth and Gloria are thankful for every seed you invest into this ministry. Together with you, we're bringing the life-changing power of God's word to every soul we meet. Let me pray over your offering. Father, on behalf of the Lord Jesus, your anointed one, and by his anointing, I bless those who've responded to this moment of sowing, and I speak over their harvest, saying every good thing that they've done is coming back to them by the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb, 100-fold. Amen and amen.
There you have it, teaching from the Word of God at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. And there may be a lot of you that need to, there are a lot of you that need to be praying about, and you make sure you know from God where you need to be in this classroom or not. Remember this, God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.